Hey everybody, welcome to the Sports Day HS podcast. I am Michael Florek here with you. We got a three-man crew here tonight. We got
tonight.
I don't know. Maybe people are listening tonight.
I hope so.
Okay.
Tonight, today. I just went with tonight. It just felt right.
It flowed well. I ruined that.
That's Avi Zaylin.
Yay. Obnoxious.
Coming up with his own adjective. And the commendable Corbett Smith.
Hey, love it.
All right.
Thank you, Florek.
Oh, no, no problem. Let's
condemnable.
Let's start.
That's a pretty good one.
Right away, a matchup everyone's kind of looked at for weeks now has finally come to fruition. We got Allen, San Angelo Central. We're going to talk with San Angelo Standard Times writer Charles Bryce later on in the podcast. But just, I mean, Corbett, you were very vocal last week about thinking Allen was going to lose after that Belton game and what San Angelo Central did to Keller Timber Creek. Has anything changed for you?
No.
Okay.
There. No, I mean, I think Allen has played okay here in the playoffs and last part of the season, but they haven't necessarily looked like a juggernaut. I mean, they took Plano East and it was a pretty close game, and for a Plano East team that it was not a world beater. And then against a Euless Trinity team, they let Euless Trinity hang around, and against Belton, Belton was conceivably right in that game. If they, they got stopped, I believe on the one, or it was near the goal line right before half. If they didn't make that stop, it's 14 all game going into halftime, probably a little bit different result. Instead, they make the stop and they pull away for a fairly comfortable win. But nonetheless, they're not necessarily playing, at their best right now. I think we had seen better versions of Allen this year. And I think they're running into a San Angelo Central team who is red hot.
Yeah, I mean, just any sort of. Do you think this game, I guess, is going to be close, or is
oh, yeah.
it?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, Allen's not going to get blown out. If they're going to lose, it's going to be a close one. I think that it's going to be one of those. They're certainly going to have the bigger line. They're probably going to have as much speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that they're going to be able to match anybody in the state, and they should. They're the largest high school in the state. I just think that they're not necessarily playing, up to all the talent that they've got right now.
I think this is this matchup embodies a lot of things that are great about the Texas high school football playoffs. Usually we get it kind of closer to state, but this is one of those deals where it's a school from one area of the state saying we've beat everybody we've played, we're big bad Allen, we're number one in. The area rankings, obviously the most important ones.
Right.
And then you got San Angelo Central coming from West Texas saying, well, guess what? We're the best team in West Texas, at least best 6A team in West Texas. We've beaten everybody on our schedule. We think we can beat you guys. And it's taking, these two teams that really, it's hard to find like a good measuring stick. You can say, it's hard to say like, oh, Allen beat Plano East by only this much, where San Angelo Central beat such and such by that much. It's hard. And this is just a chance to see them both on the same field, just proving, who is better. And like I said, otherwise we don't have really any other measuring stick. So I think it's really cool. And like I said, usually it happens later on in the playoffs, but the fact that we get to have this already in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Fourth round. Yeah.
Third round.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
The regional round.
Regionals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which just doesn't make any sense.
No.
But that's just
regional, I just call it the
and
regional
then, like,
semis. Look,
it gets really
or
confusing.
Yeah, there you go.
When you say, and then it gets confusing the week after when it's like, is it the state quarterfinals or is it the regional finals?
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah.
These
going
are the
back
high
to my,
end questions that you are listening to the Sports AHS
is
podcast.
Is it pronounced
for?
Data or data? Anyway. But yeah, going back to my original point, it's going to be a lot of fun for several reasons, not just the fact that they're two great.
I would disagree with you a little bit in that Central has come in to the Metroplex, or at least North Texas,
Byron
and
Nelson.
Played somebody. They beat Byron Nelson bad, and they beat Abilene, who was in a district in North Texas. So I think there's 2 points there's not a direct connection between these two teams, but I think if you draw it out a little bit, they have kind of indicated where they are as far as the hierarchy of districts, the 6A districts there west, in the Fort Worth area and North Fort Worth. So yeah, I like this matchup a lot. You look at what West Texas has done historically, and then over the past decade. Historically, West Texas is the dominant football place in the state.
Right.
In large classifications, you had just iconic teams. You had the Little Southwest Conference back in the 50s. That's where the power was. They have been really kind of salty and not salty, but they've been a little bit depressed over the past decade.
Yeah, there
because
was that.
They would come to the Metroplex and just get their teeth knocked in, and that's just been the way that has been here. Abilene is the last team to really break through. Most of the teams out in West Texas have been handled by the Metroplex, and I think there is a growing hostility between West Texas programs and the Metroplex as far as hey, we're good too.
Right.
And we can match up with you, X, Y, Z. Now, well, can they? I don't know. I know that Lubbock, Monterey is really kind of gunning this week.
Two Lubbock schools.
Yeah, and I think that the Lubbock ISD is kind of gunning this week to show that they belong as a powerhouse, although they historically have never really been a great power, Lubbock. But I think this central team is going to get what everybody looks at as the state power. Allen is the state team.
It's cool because they're carrying the flag for the entire – I mean, I can't say that, sitting here in Dallas, but I would assume that, there's a little bit there where other teams, from the area are looking at Central. It's kind of carrying the flag for all of West Texas.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that teams out of Midland and Odessa can really
– Right.
I think that they're really hoping that Central pushes through.
That game, Allen San Angelo Central, Friday at 4 p.m. in San Angelo, which is going to be a madhouse.
Is it 4 p.m.?
Yes.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to come in early.
Wow. Just changing Avi's schedule right now.
God.
This is breaking news to him.
Yeah.
And then you go down to 6A Division II. The game of the week, I think last week, was DeSoto South Lake Carroll. DeSoto breaks through there. Now some controversy at the end of the game, but we'll talk about it in a bit. But I think a lot of people, just based on DeSoto's history, have been waiting for the other shoe to sort of drop for DeSoto.
Yep.
Just because they haven't won state before. They get an Abilene team this week coming up in Wichita Falls. And what is the feeling? Are you still waiting for that shoe to drop for DeSoto, or did that South Lake Carroll game kind of help them break through?
DeSoto has state title or nothing. I mean, that's I think the idea behind it, and that's really unfair because they've not even been to a state final. But I think that the plans are we've always been that next best team. I was like for that run there that Kyler Murray had. That Dez White, Dontre Wilson team was right there.
Yeah.
They're just like a few breaks behind, and they were going to be the state title winner. So I think people have had that expectation, for the last 5-6 years that DeSoto was in the mix to be a state finalist. The way that bracket is kind of laying out for them, I think they're the favorite in any game that they're going to face getting out of this region. And I think Abilene will test them, for sure, because you look at DeSoto's big, struggle this year. It was on the road out in West Texas. The weather's going to be kind of crummy probably. It's going to be cold and it's going to be windy in Wichita Falls. And you got an Abilene team. Abram Smith, their star running back, is their school record holder as far as touchdowns. So he'd beaten Herschel Sims' record a couple of weeks ago. He's the real deal.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting because remember DeSoto going over to Midland earlier in the year and having struggles with that. So I think the travel and location is an interesting part of this.
But you look at the rest of that region. They'll get the Mansfield
Cedar Hill
winner. You talk about an interesting matchup there. I actually got to see half of the Cedar Hill game. I saw the part that they were struggling, but I'm not surprised that they came back and won that game. Good halftime adjustment. I guess switch of defense. They flop from the 4-3 to the 3-4, and then got the ball. Made Avery Davis the playmaker that he is. They stopped the option read that Guyer was running so successfully. That'll be a really interesting matchup.
Yep.
That was a game that Cedar Hill squeaked by, but that was a game that they also had their backup quarterback. Garrett McGuire was the quarterback of that game, not Avery Davis. He was out because of an injury that he had suffered at Bishop. It was at Bishop Gorman.
Yeah,
to start the season. So, yeah, I think that's going to be an intriguing winner. But DeSoto is definitely going to be a favorite, you know, of either of those two teams coming out.
Yeah, that Mansfield Cedar Hill game was a long time ago. The first
that
one
was
so and
it was like week three or something.
Week two. So, and as you mentioned, the Cedar Hill played without its backup quarterback, but I think Kennedy Brooks was still kind of limited just from a coaching standpoint.
Well, I don't know, man. I think he ran for, you know, 5 touchdowns in that game. He's the real deal.
I'm just saying, like, Mansfield will not have any sort of reservations going to Kennedy Brooks as much as they can in that game.
You think he's going to get 50 carries?
He could have 100. Who knows?
Like, they've got to be able to throw the ball a little bit. I mean, they've got to be able to incorporate some other weapon than him, because Cedar Hill's defense not very big, but certainly fast, and they can, you know, run with a guy like Kennedy Brooks. I don't think there's any question. So, you know, it'll be hard sledding for him unless they can open up the offense a little bit.
It's kind of cool if you think about how many times these Cedar Hill seniors have faced Kennedy Brooks throughout their careers, and now the final time is going to appropriately be in the playoffs. I think that's just kind of a cool twist. If you look at, you know, I know Joey McGuire always has just tremendous praise of Kennedy Brooks, as do a lot of people. But, you know, he in particular, I think it's kind of cool that you kind of develop that, I don't know, little rivalry there. So,
yeah,
nice chapter.
Yeah, for sure. I think Cedar Hill, in the games they've lost, they've struggled to stop the run and run the ball.
Right.
So,
yep.
Had kind of a tough matchup against Denton Guyer, made the adjustment. Now they get the best running back possibly in the state, probably in the state. I don't know. Maybe some out of area running backs could argue, but
definitely the best running back in this area. And and there's some great ones too. I mean, you look at Eno Benjamin still around, Noah Cain. You know, last week they've got some great running backs. But Brooks is a cut above.
Agreed. And we'll get to 5A in a second, but right now, let's welcome in Charles Bryce, sports writer for the San Angelo Standard Times, to talk about the matchup of the week, as we mentioned earlier, Allen versus San Angelo Central. Charles, thanks for being here. Just kind of give us some sense of the feeling around this game. What is it going to be like there in San Angelo on Friday?
Oh my gosh, this is going to be, there's been some big games in the past, but this is, I think, the biggest game San Angelo will have ever hosted. That's how big it is. I think, you know, the stadium holds 17,500, but I expect them to squeeze in standing room only a couple more thousand or something along those lines. It's going to be ridiculous.
Ed, just what is sort of the feeling towards Allen here? Like, how is San Angelo feeling? Do they view this as sort of themselves as the favorite? Is Allen the favorite? Just what is sort of the feeling towards Allen here?
Well, you know, Central players and coaches have had a very business-like approach to every game this season. They've done a great job of not, of course, you don't overlook an opponent when it's the number one team, but no matter who they played, you know, they haven't overlooked anybody. You know, they've won 22 straight games here at home. So I'm thinking they're going in thinking that they can pull this one off, you know. But at the same time, they also know they got their work cut out for them, and they haven't faced anybody like they'll be facing on Friday.
So talk to us a little bit about the quarterback there for Central, Cal Vinson. He's come up to the Metroplex to do some, you know, off-season work and to participate in some camps. Had a big week last week. Is he going to be the guy who's going to propel that potent Central offense?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's such a great dual threat guy. 2,900 yards passing and 40 TDs to go along with 719 on the ground and 9 touchdowns. So you're looking at, you know, over 3,600, yards combined and 49 TDs. I think he's only been sacked once or twice this year. They protect him really well. He's a very slippery guy, very quick. He's had a 98-yard touchdown run this year, the longest they've had by anybody. And his accuracy is amazing. He just doesn't make many bad throws. He's only been picked off twice, and The first one didn't happen until late in the season. So, yes, he knows this offense. I mean, Britt Davis has had some great quarterbacks in this system, but he says that Cal Vinson is hands down the best and knows it better than anybody.
And he actually had got moved out to receiver because of a transfer in, right? The
right.
Brendan Wooten came in and moved him out to receiver, and he's come back in?
For sure, yes. When Wooten came in, moved in from Marble Falls, my guess is maybe they were thinking, well, we'd have the luxury of Cal, we could move him to slot receiver, which they did. He ended up being a first-team all-district player over there. And, Wooten did great things. The quarterback, obviously, led him to 11-2 record and the third round of the playoffs before losing to Denton Guyer. But Davis said going into the season that he thought it would make Vincent better having spent that time at receiver because he just knows the offense that much better. And it's been a situation like that. The last three quarterbacks for Central who've done very well, Braden Hucks being the one before Wooten, all of them only spent 1 year as a starter, at quarterback. And it's worked out really well for them. In fact, next year, Maverick McIver, who's a slot receiver, will be taking over.
He'll Maverick. That's a great West Texas name right there, Maverick.
Yeah. Well, and his dad is none other than former Longhorns quarterback Rick McIver.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty good athletic pedigree there.
No doubt.
From just looking at some of the results, at least in the playoffs and in the regular season, it seems like they just beat the snot out of everybody. What's been the closest call that they've had this year? And do you think it's any worry that, they haven't faced anybody too good recently, I guess? I don't know.
I think that's my only question is, if they get in a situation, which they're going to, whether it's this week or, you were thinking they would get in a situation, I should put it that way, in the playoffs where they would be tested in the fourth quarter. They haven't really had that situation. Most games, they've been able to rest their starters at least maybe midway into the third quarter, and even had some third stringers playing there at the end. Looking back at their schedule, they're averaging 54 points a game. The lowest they've been held to was 28 against Perman that didn't end up making the playoffs, but it's just, that rivalry they've had with them. And that was that was 28-14, I believe. Let me double check on that real quick. Yes, 28-14, and then same differential with Midland Lee, 35-21. I was expecting Midland High to be their toughest, the closest, game for them, and that ended up being 40-21. So, that's the only thing. They haven't really been in that pressure situation late in the game, so it'll be interesting to see how they respond if they are in that situation.
Do you feel, I know that West Texas is such a, such a broad area, and Central's kind of in a weird spot because they're not too far removed from the Austin area, but they're lumped in districts with, going way out there near the edge of the panhandle. Do you feel like the West Texas portion of Region 1 is cheering for them to get over the hump against Allen? Because I know it's been a while since a team from West Texas has been able to come to the Metroplex and pull off a really big win.
Oh, I guarantee you they are. When these teams, lock horns on a Friday night, there's no love lost out there on the field. They want to go at each other just like teams in your area do and so forth and everywhere around the state. But, when you're carrying the banner, so to speak, for the district and for this area, obviously you look at what Perman did way back in the day, and it was way back in the day with their last state title being in 91. So, the power has really shifted, especially for the big schools, in the big Metroplex area, Houston area, whatever, San Antonio and so forth. West Texas has tried to get back up there and be a contender with the big boys, and I guarantee you those teams will be rooting for the Bobcats on Friday.
Kind of along those same lines, is there animosity towards the Metroplex just because of the success that they've had in recent years here?
I would say, you know, I mean, I haven't heard this from the players, but, you know, just the talent people and all. Yeah, all right.
I hope there's people throwing eggs at Alan's bus as it drives through town.
Yeah, people around here, they want to try to knock them off their perch, so to speak. They'd love to do that to the big city boys.
And then the kind of the one aspect we haven't talked about is their defense, obviously averaging, I think, 15 points per game allowed around there. Allen comes in, two strong running backs, Kirby Bennett, Brock Sturgis. They got a quarterback who's Mitchell Johnke. He's pretty solid. What do you sort of see that sort of matchup going between Allen's run game, and they have a passing game as well, obviously, versus that San Angelo Central defense?
Well, yeah, definitely. You know, this will be the toughest test that Central will have faced. You know, defensively, for sure. And but you know, they've got so many playmakers, and they're you know, their defensive line does a great job up front for them. And they have given up some big plays against some teams and so forth. Kind of, you know, bend but not break sort of attitude at times on defense, but. You know, they get so fired up on that side of the ball that it's contagious. And, you know, so I'm thinking they're going to be up to the challenge, but it's definitely going to be tough for them.
I really want to avoid, like, a classic cliche here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But are there a number – I mean, is there an aspect to this matchup as well where – and obviously you know better than I do, but does San Angelo Central have, like, any kind of D1 college recruits out there, or do they kind of pride themselves on the fact that it's a team effort? There's not really, you know, any you know, two or three guys who, you know, you can point to and get the most attention or something like that. Is that kind of the situation we have going here?
No, actually, they've got quite a few guys that should go on to the next level, and also at D1. Last year, they had the most signees they'd ever had in one year. I believe it was 7. You know, including some D1 signees like Dylan Parsi, defensive lineman to UTEP and so forth. Cal Vincent, the quarterback, is being looked at by Texas Tech and some other places. The running back, Davin Manning, who broke the single season school rushing record, has already broken it. He did that on Friday. He's being looked at by Oklahoma State and some other teams. Linebacker Garrick Scott, the leading tackler, he's leaning toward probably going to Army and playing football there. The only one who's verbally committed is 6'8", if you can believe that, wide receiver Adam West, who has already verbally committed to Harvard. I'd like to be that guy's agent. You know, even if football thing didn't work out for him.
Let's just put you on the spot here. I mean, it's still early in the week, but do you have a prediction for this game?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think the Bobcats are going to pull this one out.
Yeah.
And here's my theory. I think the long road trip, which Alan isn't accustomed to making, mm-hmm. I think it's going to take a lot. If they're planning on coming here Friday and taking that long bus ride and having some legs that maybe aren't so fresh by the time they get out here to West Texas and get some chicken fried steaks in them or something like that, you know, it's going to be different than a normal Friday for them for sure. And with what Central has done at home and the way they feed off this crowd, I mean, it's going to be a madhouse out there.
It'll be interesting to see if Allen travels on Thursday night. I don't know their travel plans, but
yeah.
To make that in a day and expect your kids to be fresh, that is a long bus ride to get out there to play a 4 o'clock game.
Right. And teams out here are used to that, you know.
Right.
Central, you know, ended the regular season with a long trip to 5 hours or so to Amarillo to play Tascosa and took care of business out there. But, yeah, I've heard maybe they're going to come Thursday because of that, you know. But if, either way, I mean, I see it being an explosive shootout. I'm going to say 42-35 Central.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Love it.
I like it, too. I like it, too. Corbett's well in the San Angelo Central bandwagon.
Yeah, I'll be picking him to just make Allen fans mad at me this week.
All right, Charles.
Well, no one up at Allen knows what I look like, so I don't have to be a new guy.
All right.
Just look out for the bald guy.
Charles Bryce, San Angelo San Angelo Standard Times. Go SanAngelo.com. Follow him on Twitter, at CBryce2015. I expect you'll get some Allen hate after this one, but I think you're up for the challenge there. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see and we'll be reading you all week.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks again to Charles for coming on. And for Charles. Yeah. Charles is thankful for you guys for listening. let's move on to Class 5A.
No, hold on. We gotta go through these regions, man. Just a little.
Okay, fine.
Region 1. Okay, the 6A Region 1. Division 1, Region 1. Okay. Bowie, man.
Bowie and Duncanville. Bowie. I'm gonna say I was a hater on Bowie for a while because they were winning close games, but it wasn't like they were blowing out teams. They were beating teams they should have beaten, but they weren't winning in the way I thought they should have won. So I was hating. I feel like I have to turn the corner at this point. Like, they have figured something out in those close games.
And this is a really interesting matchup against the Duncanville team. I think a lot of people wrote off when Jalen Nelson got hurt. A lot of people just kind of say, well, that's kind of the end of their season. And they've made this run to the third round for the first time since 2000. Good game between these two, I think.
Wow.
And to be able to say that you're making the regional final, I think both of these teams would have been a surprise at the start of the season to draw them up to make the regional final. So there's a lot at stake.
Yeah, they won the backup bowl last week against Hebron 52-7. We already talked about San Angelo Central.
Region 2,
Coppell Round Rock. Interesting matchup there. Coppell, another
team I've totally written on.
Yeah, I was surprised that they beat Rockwell.
Well, I did pick them against Rockwell, but man, you talk about a team that has just been kind of meh. And then it has found its pace, because remember, they got blown out against Jesuit. Took them to the woodshed. I think that's maybe their advancing is more indication of where the Metroplex is in Region 2. I don't think it's necessarily all that strong.
That was it's been interesting. I mean, 7-point win against Rowlett and 4-point win against Rockwall.
You got to tip your hat to Saxey against the Woodlands.
Yeah.
It was a good performance.
They held their own.
Yeah, they actually punched with him for a good bit.
It was at one point, I think it was like 44-45.
Yeah, it was a one-score game,
So, and then Round Rock's real good.
But I think
Round Rock,
would you
I
say
think
the Woodlands is the favorite in this region?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, sure. Bowie. I don't know enough about Arlington Bowie. In Region
Austin
3,
Bowie.
Man, or Austin Bowie. In Region 3, man, that's some salty matches.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Katy, Galena Park, North Shore, and Houston Lamar and Atascocita, but the North Shore Katy game will be nice.
Yeah,
and then Region 4, everybody's looking at that Lake Travis Westlake game. Westlake gets their quarterback back, right?
Yeah,
he played last week.
Yeah,
Sam Ellinger.
Sam Ellinger. Yeah, he had a decent game.
Resurrected
last week.
Himself. They're ready to go.
The Texas fans are like, that's like the main headline like nowadays.
Yeah, Texas commit Sam Ellinger.
Right. Yeah, but what's gonna happen between him and Bouchel? That'll be interesting.
That will be.
Is everybody going to stay?
Let's go Division 2 real quick. Abilene and DeSoto.
We talked about it a little bit.
Talked about it. How about Mansfield and Cedar Hill? We talked about that. Tyler John Tyler. Man, heads up, Jesuit.
Bryson
I think
Strand.
They're still scoring.
Whew.
Well, that was an impressive performance
there. Their quarterback, Bryson Smith, is. Everyone talks about him as like the player to watch in every game they play in. So, keep an eye out for him and see what he does.
He's been
putting
up all kinds
of numbers. Look at
Klein Collins, which I think a lot of people had picked. Who they were facing Round Rock, Cedar Point, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Cedar Ridge.
Yeah. And then other game, Westbrook. Hey, Lakeview Centennial really played well.
They really did. Yeah. They really did. That was that might have won the points bowl for 6A, because nothing can top Lake Ridge putting up 89 or whatever it was.
Well, I'm interested to see the result from Westbrook and
Westfield. I think Westfield's going to be a little bit too much for them. They shut out Stony Point last week, and I don't care who you're playing. It's hard to pitch a shutout in the playoffs, at least past the first round. It'll be an interesting game.
That Region 3 is just a muddle of teams that just are like kind of Houston contenders, but not like you say, woo, that's a good like Cy Ridge. Mm-hmm. They made the state final a couple of years ago, got beat by Allen, and they're just an okay team. Cinco Ranch, same bit.
Yeah.
But Cibolo Steel is the one, the team that looms. I expect to see Cibolo Steel in AT&T Stadium here.
Could be
Steel in
Churchill wow. next week.
Corbett guaranteeing Cibolo
Steel. I just wanted to go through that the 6A region because I thought, man, there's some good games outside
some
of our region.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Tip our hat to.
I'm glad you switched it up there.
Let's go talk about 5A like you wanted to.
Okay.
Sorry I took over your podcast.
No, it's fine. You're a veteran as well, so it's all good. Let's go Class 5A, Division 1, Region 1, Lubbock, Monterey, Denton, Ryan. We talked a little bit about the West Texas schools being a little frisky here in these playoffs. Any thought that Monterey can hang with Ryan here?
Absolutely not, but I saw something on Twitter that Monterey people were thinking that they were going to match with Ryan. Ryan's going to kick their teeth in.
Yeah.
You beat them by three scores.
I don't know enough about Coronado, but I definitely could see them hanging with Colleyville.
Yeah, I think that will be a more interesting game at the very least.
I think Colleyville's had a really interesting year if you just look at kind of regular season versus postseason. Like, they were always good, don't get me wrong, but I think they've really started to come into their own, and I didn't expect them to beat Justin Northwest as soundly as they did 31-13.
Who are their losses to? Did they lose to Richland?
They lost to Grapevine.
Grapevine.
Yeah, they lost to Aledo, barely, and they lost to Euless Trinity.
Yeah. So it was the Grapevine loss that really had me scratching my head.
Exactly.
Because, you know, I like Randy Jackson, and his team is better, much better now, you know, with him under their stead.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that was a loss that I thought, it's not necessarily showing a great strength.
Yeah, and then it could be Ryan and Colleyville Heritage in the next round. And
yeah.
That'd be interesting.
The radio announcers would like that.
The what?
The Colleyville radio announcers. They. But
moving on.
Yeah, we'll
next
just
region,
slide past
we got
that.
Lake Ridge, Highland Park.
Yeah.
I think we give the edge to Highland Park here, but tip your hat to Lake Ridge for scoring 87 points in a game.
No way, man. Tip your hat to Samuel.
Yeah.
Samuel,
shout out to
them.
Samuel, scored 50 points in that game. That was like
56, 58.
Yeah.
That game was 46-42 at halftime.
I couldn't.
That's awesome.
I didn't think Samuel was going to hang with them. And what
and
a
in the
great
end, they
season.
Didn't. They didn't. But they scored. I mean, they were punch after punch in the first half. That's
They're
awesome.
Matching them. Yeah. It was good for them.
Yeah. And good for Lake Ridge. They only had 15 players coming back from last year's team, and they back in the third round.
And then looking at the lower, my head might explode at the idea of a Highland Park Mansfield Legacy matchup.
It's going to happen.
That's
because I think Legacy is a clear favorite against Wakeland.
They are. They are. And I don't know who you give the edge to if HP plays Legacy.
Legacy.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
That's a great game. A
lot of speed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were able to test themselves against Dom Williams, and they held them in check pretty well.
Well, you look at who Highland Park lost to Waxahachie,
mm-hmm.
right?
And Legacy beat Waxahachie.
Transitive property.
Transitive property is garbage.
It is, but you're talking about teams that give Highland Park problems. A lot of skill success, and the Catalan brothers are obviously do that.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Corbett, any out of area 5A Division I games?
Game of the state is this week.
Oh, man.
And Region 3. It's Manville and Cedar Park.
Yeah.
Woo!
I don't think there's any. Like, those two teams are probably.
Coming from Kyle Field, by the way.
I would say that if you look at the brackets of the remaining teams, I would say that those are the two best teams left in the state.
And I got
to
give.
Like, better than you'd find Ryan. I think Ryan's got, you know, they could claim a spot in that, but I think that's just an awesome game.
The other end of that bracket won't be talked about as much, but a real salty matchup between Temple and Port Arthur Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Memorial's moving down from 6A, and they're always loaded. And they've been state-ranked all year, and Temple just, you know, pretty consistent program there, just year after year, doing real well.
And Region 4, you got those sad sack matchups, which thing, like parts of the state that are good,
Richmond
and then the Valley.
Richmond Foster. Aren't they?
Oh, yeah, Richmond Foster. Yeah, but they're playing Foster, Eagle Pass win.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Brr, brr, brr.
And then,
wow, we're going to get a lot of
Dripping
Eagle
Springs
Pass win
and
hate.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Region 4
Send
ever.
It to me. I'm a Region 4 guy. I just know that there's a time in which Region 4 will hit a wall, and that generally is the time when they play a San Antonio area school or a Houston area school. And here you have both. Dripping Springs, I think, is going to be a favorite. They want to. A really interesting matchup last week.
12-11.
Yeah, against Angleton?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good team.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, you know, that region now is a lot more expansive because Dripping Springs, you know, outside of the, you know, the Austin area, Angleton outside of the Houston area, and it's still in Region 4. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Division Geography. Two.
Division two. Do we want to talk about Region one? Alito, kind of the clear favorite there.
Alito's going to win it.
Saginaw Boswell, though, man. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be one of those things that they'll make the they could potentially make the regional final. Mm-hmm. You say, hey, we went four rounds deep. That says something.
Yeah, for sure. And then you go in to Region two. That's where we got our local teams stationed. You got South Oak Cliff, Mesquite, Poteet. That's Friday at the Gopher Warrior Bowl. Poteet.
Shout out to Poteet.
Just dominated Frisco Lone Star.
Now, making me look good.
Good night. 45-14.
Yeah. Now, all the Poteet players and the coach said Jason Shelley, the Frisco Lone Star quarterback, did not look the same after injuring his knee last week. But still, just a dominant.
They have other players who are very. Yeah,
yeah, just a dominant performance. They it was really just like a punt, and then they went down and scored like right away.
Yep.
And it was just over. It was 35-0 at halftime there.
Corbett, who you have in Sauk, Poteet? Same with
Poteet.
You.
I take Poteet as well.
Okay. I mean, I think Sauk is interesting in that they went through a long stretch where they didn't play anybody. They're playing in DIST.
Well, and that's why
much
they
better
played
than
the
everybody.
That's why they played the non-district schedule that
right.
they play
but
every
that
year,
non-district
where they
schedule,
start 0-3 and then they
right. But they were pretty. They took it in the teeth
yeah.
in that non-district schedule.
Yeah,
so,
and
they played teams like Ennis
and
Longview. So I think that they're going to match up against a team in Poteet that has played tough teams. Throughout the course of the season, I mean, their district is much more rigid,
mm-hmm.
And they played a tough non-district schedule as well. So I just like Poteet. And I just like their moxie.
Yeah, that defense is very, very good.
And Daquan Jackson has really turned it on, and their quarterback,
as a running
Fletcher.
Back, yeah.
Yeah, Caleb Fletcher, has, his numbers have been through the roof here in the last couple of weeks.
And they have sweet helmets.
True. That other game in that region, Lancaster-Wiley East, quite
Lancaster.
The matchup here.
That's a good one.
Can Eno just propel Wiley East over Lancaster?
I think so. I think I'm going to pick Lancaster, but Lancaster kind of surprised me with how much they struggled against Woodrow last week.
I'll give it to Lancaster by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'd probably pick Lancaster, but I mean, Wiley East has really shown me something here. Beating Highland Park the last week of the regular season and then kind of running through this playoff.
I
so
think
far.
It'll be hard if Wiley East gets behind for them to come from behind and win just. But we'll
as see. I said on the TV on the Friday.
On the radio as well.
On the radio, too. Simulcast.
Yeah.
Sports Day HS.
On the ticket.
On the ticket. 1310 and 96.7 FM, the ticket.
Oh, man, how
yeah,
fast.
On TV, Fox Sports Southwest. Go
KTCK yeah. FM.
And I wouldn't be surprised if any of these four teams won this region. I mean, Sauk, is like kind of the fourth choice, but...
Jerk.
But I can't... No, I mean,
I know. I agree with you.
This seems like a lot of balance. Right
I think,
now.
Uh-huh. I think
it's
you get
a really good. It's a really solid region.
I agree.
I
think you get Poteet and you get Lancaster in that game next week. And again, total toss up for me. I could see it going either way.
I've got Lancaster winning that state, the whole state.
I think if you look at that, I think you say Lancaster is the second best 5A team we cover. But then that being said. You look at, it depends if you include Alito. But anyway, but then you look at them like individually against Poteet, and it's like.
I saw what happened between Alito and Lake Ridge last year, and the Lake Ridge just ran them off the field.
That's a case where, again, it's like Alito's not going to encounter a whole lot of roadblocks on their way to the playoffs, and then you kind of wonder, how good are they? Good? Are they great? Are they
right.
unbeatable?
And I don't think they're unbeatable.
No. Mm-hmm.
Anything out of Region 3 and Region 4 that sticks
people
out
talking
for you?
All sorts about all this noise about College Station and they'll
get
they get the PNG. Indians yeah. who usually don't make it this far. It's hard for them to usually win their first round game against that Dayton Barbers Hill district. But those folks are real excited. They got a good quarterback that they're real excited about. I think College Station takes this one, but it'll be a good test.
Nice, interesting matchup between Bernie Champion and Corpus Christi
Cal Allen.
Cal Allen of
Cal
the
Allen.
Phil Danaher. It's not a surprise for them to make the third round.
But
growing up down there, that they were always fourth round material. Then they'd play Lamarck and get beat by like 40.
Mm-hmm.
Although they did have a couple of really good matchups between them. They could just never break through to get to a
probably
state
win
final.
Their region.
I think Bernie Champion will probably win the region.
Mm.
But
it's in their name.
Regardless. yeah, it is in their name.
That was a low hanging fruit. I just had to go.
It was
for
good.
It.
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple. Let's go down to the smaller division.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh,
Leveland.
Man.
No, I'm just locally. Locally.
Oh, we
got
to give a shout out to Leveland.
Shout out to Leveland.
Leveland versus Argyle coming up.
Leveland quarterback Nick Gerber. sets the all-time single season touchdown Gerber, record. He's got 73 right now this
year. Stupid.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a ton. Man,
because he broke the record of was Sheldon Epler.
Yes,
From Navasota, but that was done in a state championship year where they played 16
Greg
games.
Greg Tepper pointed out on Twitter that I guess he now has a better record than Kyler Murray did. As a farce. Well,
no,
they're both unbeaten. Or was that somebody
else?
That's somebody else.
The Brenham QB. Rashad Paul, I believe.
Okay, my bad.
Argyle Abilene Wiley. This is a game that
Bremont.
Was...
Yeah, Bremont.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
No worries.
Argyle Abilene Wiley. This was a game that was supposed to happen during the regular season, got canceled.
I'm intrigued.
I am intrigued as well. Two top 10 teams going at it. And then Kennedale and Midlothian Heritage played.
Very
there.
Intrigued
That's
in this
real
game.
Interesting.
Man, you just like Lee Wigginton knew what he was doing. I thought he was crazy for leaving like Midlo to open up the new high school, but obviously he knew what was happening. And it helps for them to be in a lower classification. If they're in 5A, they struggle. But as a 4A team, they got some talent.
I'll give the edge to Kennedale in this one. I just like that Kennedale faced a real tough Terrell team last week. I actually picked Terrell in the paper. And Kaufman's no slouch, but Midlo escapes by 3 points. And
no, I think Kennedale's the favorite.
I think Kennedale's the favorite here. Yeah. But what a first season!
A fun East Texas matchup. Shout out to Gabe Brooks, Carthage and Henderson. Carthage
Beast
is his
Texas?
High school.
Wow,
East Texas, but Carthage Henderson is a really good matchup.
Yeah, it is. Henderson also has a Hebron's logo.
Yeah, and I'm excited for next week, Waco La Vega and China Spring. Potential matchup in the Region 4 finals, but that'll be a really good one.
All right, then Class 4A Division 2, Salina versus Texarkana Pleasant Grove.
We're not going to break down the slot T action of Monahans.
No, we're going to have to pass.
Corey, you can do that on your own time.
Yeah.
I generally do. I sit there in my shower talking about Monahans.
Daddy, why are you talking to us about this? Just be quiet.
Just listen.
This is called dinner time conversation.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm. Salina seemed kind of down this year. Pingle Nation, not quite the same numbers as last year. Got hurt.
No.
Boy, he saved their bacon this week.
But comes back. Salina back in the third round.
Did you see what happened in that game?
I did not.
Threw a pick six to give Gladewater their first lead in the closing minutes of that game, and then he ends up driving down the field and scores on a 6-yard touchdown.
I was just trying to make it interesting.
With 7 seconds to go, they had led the whole game. They at halftime. Because I picked Gladewater in that game. At halftime, I was like, oh, man, I lost that pick because it was 34-6 Salina. And then Gladewater roars back, comes on ahead with a pick six, and then old Pingle Nation fighting back, getting in the end zone. I like Salina's chances in this game, but then they get Gilmer potentially next week, and I don't like that.
No.
Because I saw that at Ford
you
Stadium
don't want no problems, want no problems.
A couple of years ago, and that was not
and
fun to watch.
Gilmer did some bad things to Melissa last week. Let's not speak of it.
Well, I mean, Melissa moving up from a lower classification a couple of years ago, and they've, to make it this far in the playoffs. Stetson.
They had a good win against Lincoln.
Stinson. Shout out to him.
Anyway. Shout out to him.
Shout out to him. Coach.
Oh, the Jasper Bulldogs in there. Anyway.
And then real quick, Class 3A Division 1, Farmersville beats Sunnyvale.
Ooh, surprise. Did not
see
that.
I was shocked. I was surprised as well.
First loss of the season for Sunnyvale.
Shout out to them.
They got a very difficult test.
Pottsboro.
Yes, the Fighting Potts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back check me. Do it.
I think they're the Cardinals.
Nope, they're the Fighting Potts.
But yeah, Pottsboro has been one of the better teams in that part of the state. Malakoff. That Malakoff Rockdale game.
Fun to say, Malakoff.
And shout out to Teague. My mom's alma mater, Teague.
With the raccoons.
Shout out to Cameron. Mrs. Smith.
With the raccoons.
Teague is the Lions, and they're playing Cameron Yeo this week.
The Yeoman.
Anyway, a lot to look for here. So, for me, for Corbett, for
Avi.
We're
not talking about Taps Division
Go away, Corbett.
No, we are not.
We're not.
We're already way over time. We're already way over time, so
good luck
we got
to
go.
Can't wait to transcribe this thing.
For me.
Planet Prestonwood.
Stop talking.
Versus Bishop Lynch. Shout out to them.
Done. Good luck.
A lot of shout outs to them. A lot of shout outs. Shout out to every team.
Shout out to everybody.
Yeah. All right.
Participation award for, culture.
For me, for Corbett, for Avi, go to sportsahs.com, at sportsahs on Twitter, Instagram, sportsahs. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars. Give it in your review. Tell us your favorite 4A school or below and their
that
mascot.
That we didn't talk about.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
And why we should include Gunter in our area.
Yeah.
Gunter?
Send all hate to Corbett. And we'll see you Friday night.